Welcome to the Eagles Live Podcast, Episode 3. I'm Dave Spadaro, and we've got a great show for you today, an offseason that doesn't end for the Philadelphia Eagles. They made some news this week by signing defensive end Vinny Curry to a contract that keeps him in Philadelphia through 2020. But our focus in this podcast is the offensive side of the ball, and we are absolutely loaded with content. We'll visit with Mike Mayock from the NFL Network. We'll talk once again with offensive coordinator Frank Reich, who we want to learn more and more about, particularly the offensive line and some of the important parts of a Frank Reich offense that includes throwing the ball down the field. We also, speaking of going down the field, talk to wide receivers coach Greg Lewis, who takes over a young group, and he knows he wants, absolutely must, get them better. And then, speaking of the offense, we ask this very important question, and we give you some answers. Does former Eagles wide receiver Terrell Owens belong in the Pro Football Hall of Fame? First up, a couple of Eagles who were signed to contract extensions and who are very much a part of this Eagles offense, tackle Lane Johnson and tight end Brent Celek, visit with us on the podcast. For Johnson, having financial security, a great thing. Now it's time to take his game and the rest of the offensive line's game to a new level. Lane, what's the next step that you want to take in your career?
Just keep progressing wherever I'm playing. I refine on my technique, and ultimately, I want to make a Pro Bowl. You know, that's one of my main goals, but just keep developing and be better than what I was last year, and I think if as long as you're aiming to do that, then good things are happening for you.
How do you look at the offensive line and the way the group played in 2015?
I think, a lot of stuff could have been better. I can speak for myself, penalties. I think I led the league in penalties, so fixing little stuff like that that'll ultimately hurt drives and hurt, the offense scoring points. So I think, we had guys battle through injuries. So from that standpoint, I'm proud of them there. But I think, we have a lot of improvement from this year.
You're not allowed to talk football with your coaches right now. So you don't know what to expect from Doug Peterson. But do you have a sense, talking from guys around the league or talking to people who've played in the system, What kind of scheme this is going to be?
I think it'll be well-balanced. I think there'll be some zone concepts in there with some power. A little bit different in protections, but, there's only so much you can do in a football field. So we'll wait and see. I have some friends that play for Kansas City and just love, Coach Peterson and everything he's done there. So we're looking forward to it.
What's the key, do you think, getting everybody in the locker room on the same page with the new coaching staff early in this process?
I think communication is a big factor. Just get our points across. Coach will get his points across. And just working together, because we're all in this together ultimately. So I think communication and just repetitions during OTAs will get the new offense in and get people used to it.
Lane, how's the contract get done? What role do you have in the contract?
Kind of talk with my agent a little bit and kind of let him do his job. That's what you hire him for. And, my agent did a fantastic job and really did well for me.
Congratulations and thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Next, we go off the field with a longtime Philadelphia Eagle drafted in 2000. And at this point set up to finish his career as a Philadelphia Eagle. Tight end Brent Celek, another player signing a contract extension. Celek excited to be in Philadelphia and knows the turnaround from 7-9 to a playoff team is something that absolutely can be done. Brent, what is the state of this football team as you see it, from your perspective after the coaching change?
I think we've got a great group of guys, very talented team. We just got to turn things around and really just start playing a little bit better as players, and I think we're fine though.
So you've been on a team that's gone to an NFC championship game. You've been on teams that have been sub 500. What are the differences between the teams that go deep in the playoffs and the teams that don't get there?
I think it's momentum, and when things go good for you, you got to build off that. When things go bad for you, you got to stop it and change that momentum and get it going in your direction. And when you do that, that leads to guys having confidence, playing with more confidence as a team. And, when you do that, I think you as a team, you're unstoppable because everyone in the NFL is talented, but it's the teams that are playing with the most confidence and, got that swagger.
You don't know what Doug's got planned for you necessarily. I know that comes down the line, but from just an X's and O's standpoint, what do you expect that would change? Is it a dramatic change for tight end going from what you've done the last 3 years to what you expect in this hybrid offense?
No, I think the thing is when you talk about offensive scheme, I think everyone in the NFL kind of runs the same plays. It's just terminology to determine what the name of the play is, but everyone's running the same routes. I don't think too much is going to change. Maybe we'll use the West Coast terminology, but I'm used to that. So that's not a big difference, but hopefully we'll play some two tight end sets and we'll have a lot of fun out there.
Thanks, Brent.
Thank you.
We heard from offensive coordinator Frank Reich last week. Why not hear from him again? A fascinating relationship with Doug Peterson, the head coach. The two will mix their styles of offensive vision and come up with what they call the hybrid West Coast offense for the Eagles in 2016. But as Reich says, the Eagles must get it right on the offensive line to make everything work. Frank, you've had a lot of experience in the NFL, playing the position, coaching the position. What are the, kind of the basics that make it work? Does it all start on the offensive line? Do you believe that?
Yes, and it all starts on the offensive line, but it all starts from the ground up. This game is played from the ground up. In other words, you got to have great feet. I don't care what position you play, you got to have great feet. Offensive linemen, receivers, quarterbacks, it starts from the ground up. And then obviously, you got to have a mentality. You got to have a toughness that you will not be denied, that you can come back from adversity, that you know how to sustain focus in good times. And then, you know, and then there's that special skill of playmaking. Guys just have a knack of making big plays. Those are some of the key factors I think you look for in an explosive offense.
What do you look for characteristic-wise from a quarterback? What makes a good, successful, week-in, week-out quarterback?
You know, skill-wise, one of the most important characteristics is accuracy. You know, yeah, you want to have a big arm, but you need to be accurate more than anything. The windows are so small, the coverage is so tight, they close so fast when it's zone coverage that if you don't have a quarterback who can anticipate and throw it in a small window with accuracy, and then secondly, you got to be able to really process it quickly. You know, you got to be able to think fast on your feet. You got to be able to think so fast that the game actually seems slow is the way that I like to talk about it. And then really the number one attribute that you look for in a quarterback is toughness. Mental and physical toughness. Now, it's a long grind. You got to go through ups and downs. If you're not mentally and physically tough, you won't make it.
I know it's ridiculously early. Eagles fans are excited about everything. What can they look forward to from this offense? What do you think it could look like just from a scheme standpoint?
Well, I think it's like Doug has said. It'll be a multiple. It'll be a hybrid. We're going to put together, you know, our heads, and Doug will bring the leadership to it where we'll want to change formations. We'll want to change personnel groups. Yes, there will still be some of that tempo offense that I think the people have seen here over the last 3 years, but it'll be, my guess is it ends up me being more of a mixed tempo, because I think in this league, it's like a boxing match. It's hard to go in flurrying for 3 minutes a round for 15 rounds in a row. That's hard to keep that pace and not get exposed. And I think that's also true in football, having been a part of some tempo offenses. I think you want to be able to go in and mix it up in a lot of different ways.
Time now for our press coverage, and we're talking about the Eagles offense, so who better to talk about the offense, and in particular, the quarterback position, and the quarterback position in the NFL draft. We go to the NFL Network and Mike Mayock. We welcome in Mike Mayock from the NFL Network, and of course, part of our Eagles Television Network preseason broadcast team. Mike, we are talking about the Eagles offense with Doug Peterson, Frank Reich, John DeFilippo running the show here. What do you think the Eagles need to do to get this offense right in 2016?
I think the most important piece, Dave, and the most complicated piece is the quarterback situation. And Bradford played his best games toward the end of the season. The last six or seven games, he played well. And his agent, Tom Condon, is a high-level guy that doesn't let his clients come cheaply. So the first decision I think you have to make, which impacts this entire team and the development of the team, David, is, are you going to pay Bradford? And that impacts decision number two, kind of, which is, if you don't pay Bradford, can you get a quarterback at 13 and develop him along with your new head coach and offensive coordinator? Or are you going to sign Bradford and still develop a young quarterback? Because Bradford's durability has always been an issue. And if you're going to try to do that, sign him and draft a quarterback, in what round can you draft a quarterback? And I think that dictates the direction of your franchise.
So then the question is, Mike, and you know the draft better than anybody, at 13 or in round 3 or 4, because the Eagles don't have that second round pick, what does the draft look like in terms of quarterbacks?
Yeah, you know what? There's four guys that people think have potential first round grade. And 6 weeks ago, I would have told you that Carson Wentz from North Dakota State would be there at 13. People were questioning if he was even a first-round pick. And I think, from my perspective, he might be the number one quarterback in the draft. And I think he and Jared Goff, there's a good chance, and it's early in the process, there's a good chance both those guys would be gone. And if they are, then the next question is, there's Paxton Lynch from Memphis, who reminds me a lot of a young Joe Flacco, but even more raw than Joe was coming out of Delaware, and Connor Cook out of Michigan State. And they're the four guys that are kind of grouped together as potential first-round people, and at least two of them could be sitting there for the Eagles at 13. Now, if you drop beyond that, the Eagles have 2 third-round picks. Could they move up into the second if they had a guy? Perhaps. But I think it's a really good quarterback class as far as depth. And David, a lot of people are asking me, you know, who's the next Kirk Cousins? And a lot of NFL people are going, okay, you know, how do you get that third or fourth round quarterback, develop him, and he's the type of guy that can take you to the playoffs. And I think there are more of those kind of guys. I think there's 7, 8 to 10 of those guys this year, which is way more than normal. But history tells us out of those 7, 8 to 10, only one or two will ever make make it in the NFL. So, you know, you can get a guy in the third or fourth round, but is he the right guy?
Mike, is the question that Howie Roseman and Doug Peterson and company, is this the question they have to answer? How far will we go to retain Sam Bradford? Is that ultimately the question?
I think that's one question. I think the second question is, how much do you believe in his availability? In other words, his durability has always been an issue. Do you believe, as a franchise, that if you pay him $15, $18, $20 million a year, whatever that number is, that he's going to be available 16 weeks a year? And those, I think, I think before you even decide on the dollars, I think you have to say, do we really believe in Sam? And I don't know what the answer is, David. I just know that's the first question that has to be answered. As a franchise, are we all in on this kid or not? Then I think you got to go get a young quarterback and jump in behind him and develop him and understand it might take a couple of years.
Beyond that, Mike, you look at the offense. You're very familiar with this group, the wide receivers, the offensive line, the running backs. How do you see the rest of this offense shaping up and understanding what Doug likes to do offensively?
From my perspective, once the quarterback thing is decided, I think you've got to get younger and more athletic on the offensive line. And I obviously, Lane Johnson has been re-signed, and sooner or later, he's going to be your left tackle. Peters is 33, 34 years old now. So you're going to need a tackle soon. The offensive guards need to be upgraded. So that offensive line, I think you need to draft two or three offensive linemen. You need to look in free agency for some of those mid-level offensive linemen, especially the guards that you can usually find in free agency. And at wide receiver, you know, I really like Matthews, and I think Aguilar will develop. I'd love to see a veteran in that room, somebody that the kids could look at. It's a young class, man, young group of guys. I'd love to see a real good football player in free agency, but I don't know if he's going to be out there, but they still need another wide receiver or two. So, I mean, from my perspective, they're deep at running back, and that's going to become Frank Reich, who's got to make DeMarco Murray more productive. And I think Frank Reich is very aware of all that. So from my perspective, it's figure the quarterback out, get younger and more athletic on the offensive line, and augment that wide receiver core if you can.
Glad to hear that you're still with Aguilar, that you didn't give up on him after a tough rookie year.
No, I think it's a combination of getting hurt, falling behind, losing confidence. I still think he's going to be a quality NFL player.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, David. Appreciate it.
Here's a trivia question that you must have the answer for. Name the only wide receiver in Eagles history to catch a Super Bowl touchdown pass. If you said Mike Quick, you're wrong. If you said Harold Carmichael, you're wrong again. If you said Greg Lewis, you are right. Lewis caught a touchdown pass in the Eagles' 24-21 loss to the New England Patriots in Super Bowl 39. And after an 8-year NFL career, G. Lou comes back to Philadelphia, this time as a wide receivers coach. Greg Lewis, former Eagles wide receiver, now back in Philadelphia as the wide receivers coach. How much of a transition has it been for you since your playing days, Greg, to get into the coaching world?
It's been a pretty seamless transition. I got an opportunity to do some things here before with the internship, which was awesome, and it just sort of snowballed and carried on. So it's been a good time. Been in college 3 years and been back in the NFL the past year and now here.
What are you going to ask from your group every day?
To come in with an open mind, a workman's attitude, and just a physical presence when we get out on the field.
Greg, this is a game of production and consistency, and last year the Eagles, they had some drops at wide receiver. It was definitely a concern, and they worked at it. How can you improve, or can you improve, as wide receivers being more consistent catching the football?
I think it's by repetition. You can always improve in everything you do. It's just the reps at it and doing it over and over and over until it becomes redundant and it's natural to you. So we're going to do ball drills. We're going to catch the football to a nauseam. So it's going to be exciting, but when we put the finished product out on the field, everyone will be excited about it.
You are not allowed to contact the players and talk football at this point in the offseason, but you are allowed to watch film. What have you seen from the last year of watching 2015 and this wide receiver crew?
We have some guys that can do some special things with opportunities given to them. Huff is a guy that has some explosiveness to him. He has some good change of direction, which is exciting. He can do different things, as well as Nelson, change of direction as well, and just getting in and out of breaks, being able to take the top off coverage. And Matthews is just a big, imposing figure that you can get the ball to down the seams and make some things happen.
Greg, what about the feet and the hands? How important are they in developing players by the time they get to the NFL and through their careers here?
Well, I think you're always developing. Obviously, you don't have as much time in college to drill everything because you're on a 20-hour type deal. But when you get here, it's some restrictions, but you have opportunities to do cone drills and ball drills, which will help you in the long run as far as you don't want to just be schematic and just say, well, this is where you need to be. Well, how do I do that? What can I work on to be enable me to be better at doing that?
Do you think being a player in the league will help get the message through to your players?
I think it has some substance behind it, but at the end of the day, it's about knowing what you're talking about, giving them the tools to succeed, however that may be, and watching them progress and grow from that.
What was the highlight of your career, Greg? 8 years in the NFL, 6 in Philadelphia. You made some great catches catching the Super Bowl. What moment sticks out?
Just not getting a call in 2003 that I'm cut. So making the team as an undrafted free agent was awesome for me, and it just gave me even more confidence that I belonged in the NFL and I can go out and contribute at a high level. That was the highlight of my career.
Survival was the highlight.
I wouldn't say survival. I would say proving that I belong.
Great. Thanks, Greg. All eyes watching Greg Lewis and a young, promising wide receiver group. Time now to get to the Eagles fans and their phone calls. Let's go to the phone lines now here on our Eagles Live podcast. I'm Dave Spadaro, and we go to Dallas and talk to Edmund. Edmund, welcome to the show.
How's it going, Dave?
Going great. How you doing?
Pretty good. I was actually just going to ask you about the quarterback situation and if you think Sam Bradford would be good for the new offensive coordinator when it comes to vertical passing.
Listen, the Sam Bradford question is a very complicated one, as you know. I think we all recognize that he played well last year, that he got better and better as he gained health and got trusting in his knee, understood the offense better, people around him knew him. And I think the Eagles have spoken very positively about Sam. And as you know, Edmund, that's not the only question, though, right? The question is, can you get a deal done with him? What does he want? What are the Eagles willing to pay? How far do they go? Let me ask you this, Edmund. Do you want Sam Bradford as your quarterback? And how far do you go to keep him here?
I think he would fit very well with the new offensive coordinator, not going to lie. But obviously, you're going to have to do a deal that's more convenient for the Eagles and convenient for him, of course. So that part of it, who knows?
And then beyond that, Edmund, if you don't have Sam Bradford, you're looking at a draft pick or maybe bringing in a veteran. How do you see the rest of this offense?
It's kind of hard to see. All the pieces are going to have to start coming in place. Like, you have Zachary, you have Brent Celek. We have to see what the running back situation is. Of course, maybe you want to add, like, another receiver or something to help these young guys. Who knows? There's a lot of questions. I mean, like, the quarterback, I like Sam Bradford, you know? Like, I saw a lot of improvement from him. I saw trust in his knee, just like you said. Like, he's taking some big hits this year. So, I mean, I think he got pretty comfortable, and I want to see him. I'd like to see him, like, continue on in the NFL, and especially as a Philadelphia Eagle.
Edmund, we will see what happens. Thank you so much for joining us on the Eagles Live podcast.
All right. You have a good day.
We now go out to Kansas and talk to Leo, who joins us on the Eagles Live podcast. Leo, hello.
Hey, how you doing, Dave?
Great, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing all right, man. Just at work, and I saw your tweet, and I figured I might ask you just maybe a quick question.
Thanks, man. Let's talk about the Eagles offense. What's up?
That's what I'm wondering. I was wondering if you knew, kind of the direction that we're probably going to be going into. I mean, I know it's early, but you probably have a better insight than I do, you know?
I believe, look, I don't know if I have a greater insight with regard to Sam Bradford. I think that is, where does he think he is financially? Where are the Eagles financially? That is going to be a conversation or many conversations to be had between now and March. They know they've got to address the offensive line, particularly the guard spots, and you've got to worry about Jason Peters and that age. I think they're fine at tight end. I think they're good at running back. I don't know where all this DeMarco Murray stuff is coming from, but that generally works itself out. And then wide receiver, I think, Leo, we'd agree the wide receiver is an area of need still.
Mm-hmm. We can pick somebody good in the draft, you know, maybe early on, maybe even sneak in a good receiver like mid-third, you know, late second or something.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, Leo. I do not want to go first-round wide receiver. I want to go first-round best player, and if that's an offensive lineman, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Our offensive line needs a little bit more work, but we got Lane Johnson signed back. We still got Jason Kelce coming back, one of the best centers in the league. That was basically my main thing was with the Bradford, you know, because I would not mind him being in Philly again. I just hope that he's not asking for an abundance amount of money, you know.
Let me ask you this. If you're in charge, what will you do with Sam Bradford? How far would you go to keep him?
Oh, well, I don't know. I mean, I would be trying pretty hard to get him back because after what he did last year with, you know, kind of a shot offensive line, he still proved himself after being on rest the entire year. he still proved himself to be a pretty good quarterback. He threw some interceptions, but that was, you know, that was, we knew that was probably going to happen. You know, he's out of the game for a while. You know, he's still kind of getting his groove back. But ultimately, he did pretty good with, you know, for what he had last year. You know, a lot of drop catches that, you know, you'll hear a lot of fans, complain about. But at the same time, you know, he still did pretty good, I think.
Leo, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, thanks for talking, Dave.
Now we go to Philadelphia and talk to Hassan, who joins us on the Eagles Live podcast. Hassan, good day to you, sir.
Hey, good day. How's it going?
Going great. Good off season so far. What do you think about this Eagles offense?
Oh, wow. I mean, it's funny you mentioned the offense. We saw all the signings that the Eagles did this week, you know, and I'm proud of them. I'm glad they're kind of signing our homegrown talent. But, you know, my concern is more so the offense. You know, now that we have our defensive players kind of settling, you know, what are we going to do with the offense? You know, you got Sam Bradford, you know, he's up in the air with a question mark. And it seems like there may be some rumors of DeMarco Murray being unhappy, you know. So just kind of want to know which way we're headed with the offensive side of the ball.
Great question. And I kind of want to get your feedback as well. So let's talk about it. You know, I can't predict what's going to happen with Sam Bradford. It's going to be a contract conversation or two or three or 10. And I cannot predict what will happen with Sam Bradford. I think they need help on the offensive line. I think they need another one or two wide receivers, maybe a veteran. Otherwise, I like the running back situation. I like the tight end situation. So they are big targets, but quarterback, O-line, and wide receiver. Although I do like Jordan Matthews and I do like Josh Huff, and I do think that Nelson Agholor will be better than he was last year. How far would you go, Hassan, to keep Sam Bradford in Philadelphia?
Well, that's the question. I mean, with the amount of money that Sam Bradford is going to warrant, you know, top-tier quarterbacks make a lot of money, but even the guys who are on the level of a Sam Bradford, you know, contract extensions now for quarterbacks are really high, and it seems like the money that we're spending on the defensive side of the ball is almost saying that, hey, maybe we don't have the money we think, or, you know, we can't re-sign to Sam Bradford. And, you know, if that's the case, I'm okay with it, but I like to see our skill possessions continue to pick up, you know, a wide receiver free agent possibly, or, you know, just some other offensive line necessities. I mean, I really want to see an O-line built up, because regardless who's behind quarterback, behind center, you know, if he doesn't have an offensive line, how good is he really going to be?
Yeah, I agree with you, Hassan. And these questions are huge. Hassan, it's no coincidence that the Eagles haven't won a playoff game since 2008. And back in 2008, the quarterback was, of course.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is the thing for Doug Peterson. He's coming into a new environment. You know, we're going to go ahead and give him a chance. We're going to give him, you know, support him and stand behind him. But I do believe that every coach has to have his franchise quarterback. And I don't know that Sam Bradford is the answer. Hopefully he is if he stays. But if he doesn't, you know, Doug Peterson is going to have to at some point draft a quarterback. And I'm kind of hoping that we could be like a Seattle situation. You know, Seattle, it seems like they went and signed their homegrown talent, their defensive players. They made sure that their skill positions were locked in. And then they took a chance in the draft and picked up a Russell Wilson. And they were able to have Russell Wilson under a rookie contract. And yet their salary cap was designated to all the skill positions on offense and defense. And maybe that's the direction we're going. You know, maybe we're going to go ahead and look for a guy in a draft, and we'll be able to have him for 3 years with a rookie contract, which really won't hurt our salary cap. And then the other side, you know, we'll be able to pay and bring in the talent that we need, namely an O-line, possibly some other free agent offensive players, and, you know, finding our defensive players, you know, like Fletcher Cox and other guys that we really need to have here.
Hassan, thank you so much for the phone call. Good contribution, and thanks for being part of our Eagles Live podcast.
Thanks a lot. Great to hear from you. Go Eagles.
Time for one more phone call. Let's go to Charlotte, North Carolina, and Chris joins us on the Eagles Live podcast. Chris, welcome to the show.
Hey, Dave. Glad to be here. Glad to be here. Loving the new show.
Thank you.
Dave, tell me, what do you think about DeMarco Murray and his new role in this offense? What can we as the fans expect from him this coming year?
I think they'll use him more. I think they'll use him more to his strengths. I don't think you'll see him running to the edge as much. Doug Peterson ran the football, as we know, very effectively in Kansas City. They want to establish the line of scrimmage. They want to establish the ground game. And I think it'll be a really good fit. Of course, the other part of that is getting the offensive line right, and the Eagles need some pieces to do that. But, you know, I think that the Eagles, in theory, with DeMarco Murray and Ryan Matthews and Darren Sproles and Kenyon Barner, I really like that group. It's deep, it's talented, it's versatile. I think the power running game is going to be here in Philadelphia in 2016, and I think DeMarco Murray is a great fit for what Doug Peterson wants to do.
So
That being said, what do you think about the role of Ryan Matthews and Darren Sproles, and how are their roles to be affected throughout as well? What do you think?
I just think that last year, it was just such mismatched offense. They didn't stay on the field as long as they needed to. They didn't sustain drives. They never really had a chance to run the football late in the year because they were behind a lot. Look, I think that all three get touches. I think Darren Sproles gets more touches out of the backfield in the pass receiving game. And I think you go back to Matthews and Murray, the two-headed monster, and the power running game.
Dave, I hate to keep you, but I have one last question. I really do, and it's really been bothering me. With Doug Peterson coming back in and him having somewhat of that Andy Reid influence, can we expect to see more screens to Darren Sproles? It kills me that I have not seen that. Can we expect it?
Yes, I think so. I think the Eagles can get him into the passing game more. It's just kind of unusual that Sproles, although his numbers were up in 2015, not as much of an impact player in the pass game. So I look forward to seeing what Doug Peterson brings to the table. I think the offense needs some pieces. We all know that. Quarterback, offensive line, wide receiver. These are positions the Eagles need to get some answers to. And hopefully they can find a way to get Darren Sproles the ball in the open field, because he is, to use the words of the old Jimmy J.J. Walker in Good Times, Darren Sproles is dynamite. Thanks, Chris. Have a great day.
You too, Dave. Thank you.
Terrell Owens was in Philadelphia for a season and a half. A lot of it was really good, and some of it was really bad. He is a finalist for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. The class of 2016 is announced on Saturday night, so we want to know, do you think Terrell Owens belongs in the Pro Football Hall of Fame? First up, former Eagles linebacker and former Terrell Owens teammate, current WIP radio host, our good friend Ike Reese. On Saturday, we will find out if Terrell Owens becomes a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Ike Reese, in your opinion, should Terrell Owens be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
Without a doubt. No question in my mind. I mean, without a doubt. You know, coming off the era of the Jerry Rices and the Michael Irvins and all those guys that played through the 80s and into the early 90s, you know, to have the collection of receivers that I was fortunate to be a part of and compete against, and with T.O. play with, the Randy Mosses, the T.O.s, the Marvin Harrisons, those were the best. The Isaac Bruces, those were the best receivers during the time that I played. And he was one of the guys that brought the big receiver into the game, the physical aspect of his game. He was certainly a great student of physical fitness and how to stay in shape and become one of those, basically look like a linebacker or a safety playing wide receiver. And to me, the numbers speak for itself. I mean, his numbers, they speak for himself. He's second in, I believe, in yardage. He's third in touchdowns, I believe, and fifth in catches or something like that. I'm talking all time. So the guys that are in front of him, they're all in the Hall of Fame. He certainly deserves to be there. I know about the off-the-field stuff, the locker room stuff, teammate stuff. I get it. But I was fortunate to play with him when he was a great teammate the year that he played here. I enjoyed it. And I tell you what, Dave, you saw it up close and personal as well as I did. The guy practiced like he played. And you know when you're around a different level of athlete. Being around Brian Dawkins for 8 to 9 years, he was a different level athlete. T.O., different level athlete. And the athletes, we knew it. The guys that are professional players knew something different about that guy. He's different from us, and that's what made him special. And to me, it's a no-brainer, but he may not get in there. Ray Dinger brought up a good point about receivers sort of being penalized for some reason or what have you. Marvin Harrison's up for his third time. He may get in, and T.O. may be a victim of Marvin Harrison getting in this year and may have to wait till next year. But to me, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer without question.
Ike, you played with him. You admired him. Is there a story that you have that nobody else knows? Something that you know about T.O. that nobody else knows?
Wow. I wish I could say yeah. It may not, because the things that I remember about that year and I enjoyed playing with him, obviously watch through his thing, but when he could open up, when he let his guard down at times, and in that first year he certainly did it more often than not. He didn't mind being around a small group of guys, whether we're playing dominoes, whether we're in the training room. He didn't mind being around 4, 5, 6 guys and just talking hoop, talking basketball, talking other athletes. He enjoyed doing that, and I just remember a couple of nights prior to the Super Bowl, it may have been that Thursday or Friday, I think it was that Friday night prior to the Super Bowl, with myself, Jeremiah Trotter, Brian Dawkins, a couple other guys. We're all sitting in the training room. T.O.'s, he's in there getting treatment. We're sitting in the training room, and we're all talking about the game. And to hear T.O. talk about what it meant for him to be here with us in the Super Bowl, playing in the Super Bowl, and why he was going to play and why he had to play, it let us know that it just wasn't about the lights and the camera for T.O. You know, it was the game meant something to him. The game of football meant something to him. And sitting there listening to him talk about his upbringing and how football was an escape for him. To me, we didn't get many moments like that with him. And I certainly, that's one of the more memorable ones I have of my year with him, was that when he could let his guard down, man, and take off that facade of being a star. He was just like the rest of us. Most of us from small towns, and football was our way out of our environment. And it was humbling hearing him say that. And I got a lot of respect for him for what he accomplished, knowing how he grew up and everything. So he didn't share a lot of those moments with people because, you know, he was guarded. But he didn't mind doing it in small circles. And in that first year, some reason he liked to be around defensive guys. He didn't mind hanging around the defensive guys. And that's really, that was all in there, was defensive guys and him. And just talking about that, I thought that was pretty cool.
Ike Reese, your knowledge is unsurpassed. Your passion for the game is unquenched. And I love talking to you. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Dave. You're the best, brother.
Next up, former Eagles running backs coach and a current member of the Eagles scouting department, Ted Williams. Ted, does Terrell Owens deserve a spot in Canton, Ohio?
Well, you know, he would get my vote. Simply because of the fact that all my dealings with Terrell were above board, and he treated me with dignity and respect. And that's all I can ask out of another man. So if it were my choice to make a vote, I'd vote for him.
Greatest receiver that you've seen in an Eagles uniform since you've been here?
Greatest receiver I've seen beyond Jerry Rice, period. He could do things with a ball in his hand and no other receiver I've seen yet could do.
So that's one vote for Terrell Owens?
Yes.
Thanks, Ted.
Thank you.
So they both say yes, and we look back now, or at least take a listen back, to the magical year of 2004, Terrell Owens as a Philadelphia Eagle. It's our great moments in Eagles history.
Back goes McNabb. He fires, and it is complete over the middle. He's got Owens at the 35-30, 25-20, 15-10-5. Touchdown, 59 yards to Terrell Owens, his 10th of the season.
This guy is just simply amazing. He is simply amazing.
McNabb back again. He pumps, he looks, he wants it all. He's going for Owens deep, who leaps. He has it. He is into the end zone. Touchdown!
And it's just a matter of time before these two superstars hook up.
Back goes McNabb. He looks, he fires. Touchdown as he drills it to Terrell Owens. 11 yards and what a strike. And Owens is doing sit-ups.
He's trying to keep that six-pack intact. So he catches that slant route. He gets into the end zone for the touchdown. And while he's down there, you might as well keep that six-pack intact.
McNabb is back. He scampers to his left. He loads up. He fires. Leaping reception. Owens at the 25. Owens at the 20. At the 10. At the 5. He's in for the touchdown. An all-time Eagles record for a season. His 14th. Mike Quick, you and Tommy McDonald have just been knocked off page one of the record book.
And that's okay. I love it. You know what he does? He takes the ball, gives it to one of the fans up in the stands, and there's celebration here at the link.
Owens out to the far side. Pinkston to the near side. Back split into an eye over formation. McNabb fakes. He rolls. He looks. He's right firing. Open. Touchdown! Terrell Owens, his third of the game. Back goes McNabb. He fires. He completes it to Terrell Owens. Breaks the tackle at the 5. He scores! He's in for the touchdown! Terrell Owens took it over the middle. Broke a tackle and took it home.
And he's doing the Ray Lewis dance in the end zone. What a play by T.O. Not only catching the football, but he's smelling that end zone and he gets it in there.
We thank you for joining us on our Eagles Live podcast, episode 3. Thanks to our producer, Brian Thomas, for his great work. And we thank you for being part of our show. We're back next Thursday. Once again, Eagles Live podcast on PhiladelphiaEagles.com and our official Eagles app. Thanks for joining me and have a great Eagles day.